in this room, there's so many lives that are so precious, that are so special. And online as well, we want to say hello to you as well. I remember our first feast. We were in a borrowed fishing tent. It was an ice fishing tent. And it had a hole like that to fish through. And we were in a place called the Mickey Mouse Campground in the Lake of the Ozarks. And we didn't know it at the time, but it had been a pig farm. If you've ever been near a pig farm, which I had not, I grew up on a farm but didn't work around pigs much. It was clay, and the stuff is in the clay. So that was our first feast, and it was the memory for, this is our 50th, so it was the memory, right? The best one. But then no, the second one was, and then the third. And you can tell stories, you can, and everyone here has told each other stories. We've been sharing memories. And now this is a shared memory of life. Your life. You're sharing your life. The church teaches that the purpose God has given you, God intends to bring many sons and daughters to glory in his kingdom. That's the statement. God intends to bring many sons and daughters to glory in his kingdom. And we actually could add to that, to bring into his kingdom for sharing life with him, because he thinks differently, he acts differently, his ways are different than ours. And we're learning those ways. And they're so dramatically different. God, as we were told, starting out almost 100 years ago, in 1927, God gives. He gives. That's who he is. It's what he is. He gives of himself. I suppose to think of the alternative is a little bit difficult, because the alternative is close your eyes. Absolutely nothing. If he doesn't give you and I the next moment of thought, the next breath, the next heartbeat, close your eyes. There's nothing. As David put it, we did not make us, we ourselves. Isn't that an interesting thing to write down and have lived for 4,000 years? We did not make us, we ourselves. Every moment, every thought, every molecule, every law, every experience, every shared life isn't from us. It's from God, and as if we had time we could look at it, it's for God. And it's all through Jesus Christ. He's sharing his life. And we're to become like him. So we have to learn how to share his life. How to share his life. He's sharing it with us. Let's learn how to share his life. And his life, or God life, if you will be and is now shared with all who support him. Let's look at it this way. Get out of the theological discussion. If we're not supportive of God's way of life, he's being patient with that. But there is a time when such corruption of his creation will stop. Death is corruption. That's the last enemy to be destroyed. This day is about that. Okay, look. We're learning to share his way of life, which isn't about getting. It isn't about dominating. It isn't about even justifying ourselves or fitting in. It is about Him, His way of life, and sharing that with us. Our Father and Jesus Christ are changing us to become life sharers, life givers. And we'll see life multipliers, growers of very good life. Remember, maybe you didn't know, in the creation chapter, Genesis 1, God looks at what He's made. And He says, that's good. But you will find when you look at after He's made the first man and woman, He looks at them and He says, that's very good. And it's the only time He says it. We're learning very good life. And that means to learn to share Him with everyone who is supportive. And those who aren't supportive of Him, by Him, of Him, with Him, and for Him, will cease to be. So, if you want a title, He's teaching us now in this world about sharing God life with all creation. If you've ever wondered about things like loving your enemy, serving God with all your heart, praying without ceasing, He tells us about this. But there's a question inherent in all of this. Might be a little hard. The answer's very easy. Frankly, it's worthwhile thinking that if it isn't easy and simple, it's probably wrong. For those of us who went through 1995, that's worthwhile remembering. If it isn't easy and simple to explain, it's probably wrong. Here's the question. Since God shares life and He wants us to learn how to share life and is teaching us how to do it and living with us to do it, how much of what God does share, how much does He expect for us to give? Well, He does tell us, and it's very easy. Let's first take a look at our first point today. We can turn over to Romans 11, a little Bible study lesson here in Romans 11, how to examine the Bible. It's a little lesson here. Go over to Romans 11, if you will. You know, it is important to know that in Genesis 1, one of the most maligned, misunderstood, neglected, resisted verses in the Bible. This is the first one. In the beginning, God made. I didn't make it. You didn't make it. Well, we're creators. Nope. We didn't create anything from nothing. My business is creation. I've told people, I'm just a manipulator. I don't create anything. These videos you're seeing are just shadows of the real thing. I didn't make things out of nothing, and neither did you. We don't discover anything. We find what's already there. Okay? God made. In the beginning, God made and continues to make. Remember what He said to Job. Where were you when I hung the earth in space? Where were you when I separated the earth from the waters? Where were you? Tell me. And He got it. Let's see if we do. In Romans, and this is a little lesson in Bible study here. In Romans 11, as we're going through the next couple of verses, look for a word in here. Because, you know, it's a legal word. You see it a lot of times in a contract. The word is therefore. Therefore, right? Well, that would mean, therefore, what we've said already, let's go from here. Therefore, we're going to go on and talk about this. Therefore, let's do this, right? Look for that word. If you were going to write a sentence about why to obey God, how to serve with God, what we're doing with God, why would we do it, how much would we do it, let's take a look at this set of verses. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. None of us can justify ourselves before Him. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways, past finding out. We can't find it. He has to reveal it to us, and He reveals a little. Verse 34, for who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor? Okay, nobody. Verse 35, or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to Him? Another way to look at that verse is, so, I gave to you, Father. What do I get back? The apostles asked Christ that. Well, how about what you have so far? Your next breath. Today. Your thoughts. Conversion. Yeah, but what have you done for me lately? Think about yourself and me, right? What have you done for me lately? I gave you things. Give me some more back. I'm sorry about the religion that teaches things like that. It's nonsense. Verse 36. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So be it. I beseech you, there's that word, therefore. In other words, what's come before this word is why and how much and what for we are to do what follows this word. We come from Him and we're for Him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. By the way, this isn't a sin offering. This is a sacrifice of our very being, because it's given to us in the first place. Holy, separated from the world, acceptable to the Lord, in which is your reasonable service. Just give us everything. The Father and Jesus Christ, it's your reasonable service. We gave you what you are and what you'll be. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, repent, think differently. Renewing of your mind, a completely different society. Imagine a society where no one takes anything unless it's given to them by someone who's sharing themselves. There would never be any want. There would be peace. What an interesting concept. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. That's why we're doing it. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our first point is that our reasonable service is to share God's life in us. Share it. And now the second thought. God's desire is to bear much fruit. You find that all the way from Genesis through to Revelation. Bearing fruit. What's he talking about? John 15. Quickly, let's go there. I want to run out of time. I want Mr. Knapp to have as much time as I could give him, so I should learn to shut up. And the reason is because he's talking about the same thing. He started out the feast. I was deeply impressed by how we're starting that, and we're going to be coming to today too as well. John 15, verse 2. John 15, 2. Obviously the words of Christ here. Every branch in me, he's speaking to the disciples, which is you. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, speaking of the Father. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. More fruit. What does it mean? Well, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Live in me, abide, stay in me. Abide in, do not do the world, abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides, lives in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me, live in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, lives in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. But I have things I have to do, I have to achieve, I have to learn, I have to work, I have to accomplish. Is that so? Without God, what's the point? That's his point. Without God, what's the point? Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you live in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. But obviously, that is because of sharing God's life. And by this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So our reasonable service is to bear much fruit with God, to share life with God in us, bearing fruit, growing the example of God, the life of God in the earth. Well, how do I do that? Well, God will show you. Don't come to me. You go to God. He's the boss. You ask him, what do you need from me? What do you want? Well, how do I help? And our third point is very simple. Our purpose is to be with Christ. Our purpose is to be led with Christ, to be like Christ with God. And you know where it is. It's in 1 John 3. We don't have to turn there. You probably know it by heart. 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3. 1 John 3, 2 and 3, beloved, now we're the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we will be, but we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this God life sharing hope in him purifies himself just as he's pure. Our reasonable service, share God's life in us. God's desire is to bear much fruit in us, with us. And his purpose is to be, our purpose now is to be with Christ and be like him. And our calling now, as God wants to be, as he puts it in 1 Corinthians 15, to be all in all. In other words, everything is about him. Therefore, what? Everything is about us together. And our calling now primarily is to develop that way of life and way of thinking, sharing God's life, sharing in us and his will. Sharing God's life, not our self-will, but his, with all creation. And there's a lot more to do in learning how to do that.